Well, good afternoon, Michigan. Welcome back. Your radio intern, Sandy, sitting in for Paul W. Smith, live from Acuitas's office in Lansing. And I'm delighted to have two special guests with me right now. First is Senator John DeMoose, who represents one of the most beautiful parts of Michigan, the Harbor Springs area. But we're not going to be able to hear Henry DeMoose, but Henry DeMoose, the senator's son in the sixth grade, is sitting right next to the senator in our makeshift studio here, and he looks every bit as an upcoming senator that I have ever seen. All we need to do is swear him in.
That's right. He's going to do a good job. He's getting a unique perspective at a young age on the things he's gotten to accompany us with. I think it's been a great learning experience for him.
Well, Senator, the reason I asked what grade he was, because I kind of suspected he was in the sixth grade, because that's when I got the political bug. And it was, even though I was living in Oregon, the person who inspired me was President Gerald R. Ford.
That's amazing. Yeah, I was the same way. And I talk about this all the time, that I was 8 years old when Ronald Reagan became president, 16 when he left. And those were my formative years. And I just, I counted it as such a blessing having grown up with him as our president. And even when he didn't know what he was talking about, he gave these great addresses from the Oval Office that we'd all run in and see him speak with such like a trusted grandfather. And you just knew there was something special about the president of the United States. I think it shaped my lifelong political views.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just the kind of the political approach. It was, President Reagan had such a great relationship, personal relationship with Tip O'Neill, who was the Speaker of the House. And there was all these, titans of American politics, the Daniel Patrick Moynihans, the Howard Bakers, the Bob Doles, the George H.W. Bushes, all these people with incredible integrity, really put the nation first all the time. And it was just it was an inspiring time, wasn't it?
It was. These were statesmen. And, what it's amazing. Years later, as an adult, I came across a book by Peggy Noonan, who's one of the best writers in history in my mind. And it was called When Character Was King. And in the introduction, she said she wanted to write a book that discovered what it was about Ronald Reagan that grown men grew misty-eyed at the mention of his name. And I said, she's got it. That's what it's about. Because when he left office, I said, someday I want to name a child after him. And I was 16 at the time, so probably a little strange thing for a teenager to say, but my 28-year-old daughter is Reagan, based on him.
So. That is spectacular. I absolutely love that. Well, listen, you and I can reminisce about the past probably for the rest of the show, but let's talk about some things that you're engaged in right now. And one of the things that I've always wanted to talk to you about is the National Prayer Breakfast. You've been involved and actually kind of one of the principal organizers of the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington now for, 20, 30 years.
Well, it's interesting. I wouldn't call me one of the principal organizers, but this organization is one of the most amazing organizations you can imagine. It's impossible to talk about, to even begin to touch the surface of what they're involved with around the world, but it's basically about bringing people together, teaching the principles of Jesus. I've been to that National Prayer Breakfast so many times in my life, and I remember my 30th birthday was there, and one table to the right of me was Hillary Clinton, the next table to the left of me was Donald Rumsfeld, and we're praying to the same God in the name of Jesus. And it just has had such an impact in my life. And Doug Coe, who was the sort of leader of that, was my mentor for 20-some years. And now it's interesting, they have prayer breakfast in all 50 capitals. And since I've been in the legislature, I've been the co-chair of our breakfast here in Lansing.
Well, that's great. It's fascinating. It's important, and it's we need all the excuses, frankly, to bring people together these days. And if I think sports is a great one, but a religion, regardless what your religion is, people can come around. Just the idea of having faith and having spirituality.
Absolutely, so. And bringing people together when you know them at a deeper level, it's hard to hate them. I mean, it's perfectly fine. Policy is fair game, but it's not fair game to go after somebody as a person and to not afford them the dignity that they have. And it's interesting. I had the governor. I asked the governor to speak at our prayer breakfast right before the before Christmas, and I told a story about the first time I'd just been elected. She was making calls to different people she thought she may be able to work with, and she called me. And I'd never really talked much to a governor. Didn't come through the political realm. And I went out and sat in my car so the family wouldn't disturb me. And I came back in after the call. My wife said, "How'd it go?" I said, "Oh no!" And she said, "What happened?" I said, "She's really nice. I liked her a lot." And it's true. I say that only halfway in jest. I told the governor that story because once you have a relationship with somebody, you have to interact with them on a different level. It's very easy when they're just nameless, faithless, just scream and yell. So
yeah. So speaking of bipartisanship, you mentioned Hillary Clinton sitting next to former Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. You know, you've been a leader here in Lansing trying to take on bipartisan approaches. One of them is around economic development, and you've worked with Senator Mallory McMorrow.
Right.
You're a conservative Republican. She is, well, not. but she's a good person, and I know her well. But you have come together on economic development policy. Talk about what you and Senator McMorrow are trying to accomplish.
Well, it's interesting because what we discovered by being members of the Appropriations Committee is we get hit all the time by one project after another that seemingly no rhyme or reason behind what they're doing, no strategy. And we realize that the state of Michigan doesn't have much of a long-term strategy for where we want to be investing our money. And you see other states where they've done this. We tried with the film incentives, for instance. And I'm not even saying I supported them, but that was my industry. And I remember the minute they came out in the 2008 timeframe, you knew they were going away. There was no political will behind them. And so it bred a mentality of get in, get your money, and get out. Georgia modeled theirs after us, but they stuck with it. And today, Georgia is one of the premier places on earth to produce a film or a television series. They stuck with it. We need to remember who we are. We used to know as a state that we were it's easy. We built great things and we played outside all year round. And we can't say that anymore. And I think that what we're working on is developing a framework to get to a strategy. And we probably have radically different ideas of what the strategy should look like. But we both agree there needs to be something.
Well, and Senator, I'm so glad you really highlighted the need for long-term strategies, long-term policies. You know, I thought the Michigan U was just a traffic pattern, but it's actually become a policy practice here in our state just by, you know, we do something for a while, then we do something else, and there's a change in the governor's chair, there's a change in, you know, legislative leadership, and we just keep trying different things, and it's certainly not working for Michigan because, you know, we've gone from, you know, 14th in per capita income in the year 2000 to 40th today. That's a problem.
We've got to do something to improve it for sure.
Well, Senator DeMoose and future Senator DeMoose, it has been a delight to have you both here. Enjoy the festivities tonight. Enjoy the speech. And have a great time and best to you and your family.
Thanks, Sandy. Thanks for having us on.
All right. All the best. All right, folks. We will be back with more WJR.